In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade for McCullough, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Getting towards the end of the week, and we had to slip some NBA basketball talk in here somewhere. We wrapped up our coverage of Summer League earlier on in the week, and now we can move on and talk about some of the storylines now that things have kind of died down just a hair as far as the offseason goes. Joining us right now over the phone, we have James Holas. He's kind enough to join us periodically to talk NBA basketball. He is from bballbreakdown.com. James, as always, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me on. Always excited to talk some ball.
Always excited to get you on. And I want to dive right into the major storylines that we have right now because, again, things are starting to settle just a bit. And if you look at the storylines that are creeping up right now, we still have no end in sight as far as the Carmelo Anthony drama goes. And, James, I think that's probably the number one storyline right now in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's the dog days of the offseason, so it's all about Melo right now. Where is he going? To me, it's not that big a story because I don't know how much of a difference he's going to make. I know he's making a difference, but I don't know if he's going to be a game-changing kind of addition. But I like the new wrinkle. I like the way Portland and CJ McCollum are trying to really recruit him now. That's kind of fun.
As far as a landing spot for Melo, if we're being realistic here, if it's Houston or if it's Portland or wherever he goes, it appears that a third team would actually have to be involved here. So my question is, this late in the game, what is an actual positive point for a team to be the third squad in a trade like this? I mean, what team could you really honestly see facilitating this deal this late in the summer?
I don't really see one, man, because from all reports, it's going to be taking on Ryan Anderson's contract. We're talking 3 years, $60 million, and that's an albatross that I don't know what team can really take that on. I have no clue. I have no clue where is that going to go. I don't think the Nets, they've already taken on their bad contract. I mean, who else really has the money in the room? So if it was Eric Gordon, sure. A lot of teams would be in for Eric Gordon. He should be really useful. But Anderson's useful too, but at that contract, that's terrible.
At some point, he's got to move on, right? I mean, at the end of the summer, this guy cannot be wearing a New York Knicks uniform, right? I mean, this can't go on any longer.
Yeah, when the reports came out that, you know, the new GM came in and wanted to try to talk to him and see where they were at, and basically the reports are saying that Melo says, no, talking's done, just get me out of here. The tough part is, like, he's made himself, it's such a silly situation. He has no trade clause. He only wants to go to, like, two teams. You know, Portland's not even been official. I've heard Houston and Cleveland, the two teams still. So it's as always, man. The Knicks soap opera keeps on rolling. You know, they just paid my man Tim Hardaway Jr. $71 million, which is a lot of money for, you know. Sure, it's average starter money, but probably could have gotten for a lot less if they actually knew how to negotiate. So it's just, yeah, the Knicks are just being the Knicks.
You mentioned Cleveland could potentially be a spot that Carmelo would waive his no-trade clause. I don't see that happening. I mean, again, you'd have to get a third, maybe even a fourth team involved to make this happen. I just don't see that being a realistic expectation. However, there are rumors floating around that Cleveland is in serious contract negotiations right now with Derrick Rose, the other team being Los Angeles, where he would serve as a backup role for Lonzo Ball. Derrick Rose, at this stage in his career, your thoughts on where he goes and where he'll be most effective if it seriously is down to Cleveland and L.A.?
Yeah, all reports are saying that, right? And look, it's really hard to gauge. I say some players have big games, have small games. And the problem with Derrick Rose, he has big game. He needs the ball in his hands. He'll score a lot. Volume kind of player. But at this stage of his career, if he's going to a team like Cleveland, they don't need big games. They need effective games. So they need somebody who can come in and not take up all the shots and actually make the ball move and, you know, shoot the three. I don't know how he fits in Cleveland. For the Lakers, you got star power, right? So you got name recognition. I heard, you know, mentor Lonzo Ball. Well, Rose has some very unwholesome things that are documented and you know, they're part of a legal document about, you know, said by him and his friends. I don't know what kind of mentorship that really is. Why would you want that around your young players if you're Los Angeles? So, I don't know, man. It's tough because he can still play. He averaged almost 18-3-3 last season, or 18-4-4, which is pretty damn, that's pretty good. Those are good numbers, but those stats are really hollow when you do it for a bad team, and then there's so much baggage that comes with him, and he still carries himself, thinks that he's like a prime-time player. It's really tough, man. I almost feel bad for him, but at the same time, he kind of made his bet himself.
As far as the idea of teaming him up with the likes of Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, for as bad as Deron Williams was last season, and I know Jazz fans, they relish in the fact that this guy has just, he's kind of been an oddball duck. He hasn't been able to fit in anywhere over the last 3 or 4 years. With that being said, is Derrick Rose, with the way he plays, would he actually be viewed as an upgrade from Deron Williams? Because in that system, James, I don't know if it's much of an upgrade, if at all.
You know what? We're saying Deron Williams didn't really fit. Deron Williams is absolutely fine in Cleveland until the finals. And that's our lasting memory, going to be of him flaming out in the finals. And that's fine, because that's Cleveland's biggest enemy, right? Anything else, they're fine. So, in a lot of ways, I think Deron Williams is a better fit than Rose, because he can shoot the three. And he didn't just, well, while he was in, he ultimately dominated the ball. But, I mean, he was acting more of a point guard. Rose will come in, he doesn't shoot the three well at all. He doesn't shoot spot up very well. He's going to just try to get to the rim relentlessly. Solid rebounder, doesn't defend. So, in ways, I think maybe Deron Williams was a better fit with Cleveland. It's just not a better fit against the Warriors. And I don't know what Rose is going to – he's not going to make a difference with the Warriors either. So, Cleveland's in a really tough spot, man. They're in salary cap hell. They don't have a GM. They're not signing the kind of players they really needed to, which would be like large defensive wings and shooters. You know, they're getting old players and just mismatched parts. I don't know, man. I'm reading the comments coming out of Cleveland, and it's really strange for a team to be, you know, a few months or a month away from the finals to be in this much disarray.
Again, our guest right now is James Hollis, joining us to talk some NBA basketball. He's with bballbreakdown.com. We'll get more information on James's work here in just a moment. With that being said, I don't want to ask you a clickbait question. I'm trying to stray away from that, but I think this is a fair question. I'm going to ask it to you, James. Tell me if I'm absolutely crazy or if it's something that at some point in time you may have to explore. Cleveland trading LeBron James. At some point in time, does that become a realistic question?
I think, like, on paper, I guess, if this is a franchise mode video game, you say yes. But real world, I can't see management with that back, taking that backlash and saying, I'm trading the best player in the game who chose to come back home. It's one thing if he chooses to leave and makes himself a villain again. It's another thing if he doesn't expressly come out and say, hey, you need to trade me, and they make a preemptive move and trade him, because, like, that's just unprecedented. That's just, I can't see how that works. I hear what you're saying, because, I mean, if he's not giving you the warm fuzzies about staying long-term, and, you know, there's enough smoke about him, you know, possibly leaving, going to L.A. or wherever else, that it's, you know, it's definitely a possibility. But it's almost like with Kevin Durant last year or a couple years ago with OKC. No guarantee or whatever, I get it, but you kind of got to just ride it till the wheels fall off. You know, you just don't trade a player of that caliber just, you know, because, well, hey, we got to get something for him. You know, so I like what you're thinking. I really do, and maybe the ownership there, maybe David Griffin has the guts.
I got to tell you, like you, and I think you and I shared the same thoughts on this. A month ago, the idea of LeBron leaving Cleveland for L.A., to me, it was preposterous. I gave that absolutely no credibility at all. As the days go by, James, it's something that I believe is at least getting enough attention to be taken as credible. And with that being said, I don't know if you can afford to lose a player of LeBron James's caliber twice for nothing in the same lifetime. That's a tough pill to swallow.
I'll say if you got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love under contract, and you'll get, I guess, you can shed a lot of those other contracts when these guys leave or whatever and open up cap space. You're still Cleveland. I'm not sure that's who you bring in. And again, it's almost like it'd be better to let him abandon you as far as the narrative goes and what the fan base is saying than to trade him. I don't know, man. But like you said, man, when people were saying, hey, he might leave and go to Miami, I thought that was BS. When he was in Miami and people thought, oh, man, he might come back to Cleveland, I really laughed at that one. So we never know what LeBron James, man. We never know how things are going with him in his camp and how he's dealing with. We're in uncharted territory as far as a superstar controlling his career.
Let's move on and talk about New Orleans here for a second. Did the New Hello?
Here, bro.
Okay. James, let's move on. I want to talk to you about the New Orleans Pelicans. They did recently sign Rajon Rondo to a one-year deal. Obviously, they're going to have a full season under the Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis experiment. Did they do enough in your eyes to take the next step as far as this franchise can go? And again, really, you're working against the clock if you're in New Orleans to begin with. Did they do enough in your eyes this offseason?
You know what? Just a lot like Cleveland, there were really two things I thought they needed. They needed long, kind of defensive guys, versatile guys in the perimeter, and shooting. And they really didn't do that. So they got two of the most talented big men. You know, one of them might be a top 10, potentially top 5 player. And they're making moves like signing Rajon Rondo. And, you know, I'm hearing the excuse of, you know, he's a good friend of Boogie's. That's great. That's cool. I don't know, man. I didn't mind the Drew Holiday re-signing because you kind of either got to keep him, and if he left, you didn't have a money anyway. But why not go big and try to go after Kyle Lowry? I think Kyle Lowry was gettable. Hey, come play with these two bigs. I just think they got to do something else with the Pelicans, and they're going to be okay with being mediocre, it seems like, and that's not right. And they got Brown till, you know, 2020. If you want to keep them longer than that, I think there has to be some drastic changes in New Orleans.
I'm going to end with a Utah Jazz question for you. I've been on the record on this show and several other shows of saying that Donovan Mitchell is a guy that will make the Jazz forget about Gordon Hayward within the next 2 or 3 years, at least soften the blow of Gordon Hayward leaving via free agency. Judging by your Twitter comments on Donovan Mitchell, you seem to be quite high on this guy as well.
I'm going to be called a hater, but I definitely, just from watching him, and this is before the summer league, because he was great in summer league, but just watching the tape on him before the draft, I just asked the question, like, how does our draft process work where a player gets elevated to a certain level and just can't really drop? Because when I thought of Donovan Mitchell and Dennis Smith Jr., there's no way I'm taking along the ball in front of either one of those guys. And, you know, nothing that I've seen from either one of those guys in summer league has changed my mind, where I think Donovan Mitchell, you know, probably draft eventually. He's strong as an ox. He's athletic. He's fearless. He's, you know, even though he's not really a point guard, but he's that kind of lead guard where it doesn't matter. You put the ball in his hands and great things happen. And I really think that Utah might have to steal the draft there. Like I said, Dennis Smith Jr. also has that kind of it star factor, but right behind him is Donovan Mitchell. And Fultz has looked great. I get it. Ball is a wondrous passer. That's nice. That's great. I think Donovan Mitchell might, you know, in 5 years, we're going to be asking the question, how the hell did he fall to 13?
I agree with you. I agree with you on Donovan Mitchell. I don't think I agree with you on Lonzo Ball, but I definitely agree with you on Donovan Mitchell. This kid is going to be a true talent. Again, I think it's a true, I guess we can say, correlation to how deep this draft really was. I mean, you take a look at a lot of the talent in Summer League, 1 through 30, James, there's a lot of talent that played these past couple of weeks in Vegas.
Yeah, and let me clarify on Ball. He impressed me in Summer League. I wanted to see him against higher level talent than the guys in college and out of his system in college, which I think, you know, obviously they were really good in college. And, you know, TJ Leaf got drafted, and I think two other guys got drafted too. So they had a lot of talent too. But it was good to see him actually do a lot of things people wonder if he could. Hit the NBA three, even though, you know, the first couple games were rough. He wasn't scared. So, no, Alonzo's fine. I think his limitations, though, athletically and as far as the lack of shake, and even some of his creating his own offense, he just doesn't do it. And I prefer guard to do that. But, yeah, man, this draft has been really good. Really good. Even got Shemi Ojale, who went to Boston second round. The pick that Golden State bought, Bell, Jordan Bell, he looks extremely ready right now to play in the NBA. You know, Juwan Evans and what's my guy's name? Sindarius Thorne. Sindarius Thornwell? Is that his name?
Right.
But no matter what, yeah, there's a lot of talent in this draft, man. And the NBA is going to be in a really good place in a couple years.
James, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, get your opinions on what's happening in the league. I love that you never stray away from your opinion. That's why we love you here on the show. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, B-Ball Breakdown. I do some podcasting over at the Almighty Baller Podcast Radio Network. We still do our thing there. But, yes, B-Ball Breakdown, check us every day. We got a lot of good off-season content coming out. I'm working on something on the rookie right now. Same right on Tatum. And we got some other stuff on the Thunder coming out. So just, yeah, b1breakdown.com. Always fresh content.
James, always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
You're the man, baby.
That's again James Holas from bballbreakdown.com talking NBA basketball. We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.